welcome to our candlelight service. We are excited that you're here. Advent is the time of the year, the church calendar that leads up to Christmas. In this past month, we've been talking about the one who brings light, the one who prophesies, the one who redeems. This morning we talked about the one who saves. And all those characteristics are about the one, Jesus. The one who we're here to celebrate his life tonight. And we're going to discuss the one who triumphs tonight. So I want to keep singing to our Savior, to our God with Jesus, the one who triumphs. Let's pray and then jump back in. Lord, thank you so much for the birth of your Son. Thank you for our ability to celebrate it, Lord, and thank you for these songs that we can sing to praise you. Give us hope, joy, love, and peace. In your Son's name we pray, amen.
Angels from the realms of glory, wing your flight o'er all the earth. He who sang creation's story, now proclaim the Messiah's birth. Come and worship, worship Christ the newborn
Thank you. first Noel the angels did say was to certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay, in fields where they lay keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night that was so deep. Noel, 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 Noel. Born is the King of Israel. They look it up and so
tonight, that our hearts would be prepared to live in expectant waiting for you and your return. As we celebrate the day that you were born to be a Savior for us all. Father, we love you. We ask all of this in your holy and precious name.
The death of an innocent life to pay the penalty for our failures seems like too negative of a thing to talk about during a festive holiday season, huh? Instead, we focus our attention on family, singing Christmas carols, spending money to stimulate the economy. That's what Christmas looks like through our eyes. But what if we could look at the birth of Jesus from the perspective of heaven? Would we see things any differently? Would we emphasize the same things about Christmas if we were looking at it through heaven's eyes? Fortunately, we don't have to guess on that, because the Bible presents us with a picture of Christmas through heaven's eyes. This picture isn't found in the traditional Christmas story as recorded in Luke or Matthew. It's not even found in the more theologically dense retelling of John. Heaven's perspective of Christmas is found in the book of Revelation. Revelation provides an interpretation of Christmas. And one day, while in prayer, John experiences an incredible vision of Jesus Christ, where he sees the gates of heaven open. And one of the major purposes of this vision is to help us see the pain and suffering from heaven's perspective. This vision recounted in the book of Revelation sheds light on the future. It uses symbolism, images, visions to describe the end of human history, the future coming of Jesus Christ. And in chapter 12 of Revelation, we experience a heavenly flashback to the first Christmas. This flashback looks back at the birth of Jesus, which probably occurred 80 years before John had this vision. It lifts a curtain and shows John and us what the first Christmas looked like from heaven's perspective. Read along with me. Silently, by the way, because... And a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet and her head, on her head a crown of 12 stars. She was pregnant and was crying out in birth pains and the agony of giving birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his head 7 diadems. His tail swept down a third of the stars from heaven and cast them to the earth. The dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she bore the child, he might devour it. She gave birth to a male child, one who's to rule all the nations with a rod of iron, but her child was caught up to God and to his throne. Now war arose in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven, and the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. Now, every Christmas morning, that's the Christmas story you should read to your children. Right? But such an interesting version, right? So I want to look through it. First, we're introduced to a woman who is clothed with the sun. Exactly who this woman is has been debated by Christians for generations. Some identify it as Eve, who's the mother of all of the human race. In Genesis 3, it says that God made a promise that he will send a son through her lineage that will stomp the snake's head. Jesus Christ. Others identify this woman as the nation of Israel, and that's why the 12 stars would stand for the 12 tribes, and the focus would be on God using the nation of Israel to bring his son into the world. Still others see it less symbolically. It's Mary. She had a baby. It's Jesus. That's who it is. Now, I'm not here to tell you which one it is, but because visions in Revelation can have all types of things, but maybe the woman can refer to Eve, Israel, and Mary all at once. So let's hold on that character. Second character, we have a child that is born to this woman. Now, clearly this is Jesus. Jesus Christ, God's son. And the book of Revelation is rich with imagery to describe Jesus, calling him the beginning and the end, calling him the lamb that was slain for the world's sins, the conquering king, a lion, all those things. And that's because the book of Revelation is first and foremost a revelation of Jesus Christ. An unveiling of Christ's true character. And here the focus is Jesus' birth. Now, if you look in your Bible at the end of verse 5, there is a skip from his birth to his ascension. And John is bracketing his entire life in between those two things. And this is a way of presenting the life of Jesus as a comprehensive work. He was born into the world. He lived a perfect life. He died a sacrificial death for our sins on Good Friday. He rose from the grave on Easter, and he ascended into heaven at the sight of his followers, promising his return. The third major character, probably my son's favorite because he's six, is the dragon. A grotesque seven-headed dragon. Now, through the whole ancient world, there are myths and legends about dragons and monster-like things that are retold this way. But the dragon here in John is called a sign, which means it's a symbol for something else. And verse 9 identifies that symbol as Satan, the personification of evil. Satan is a real supernatural being who has at his disposal a third of the angels, as well as power and authority. And when Jesus is born into this world, Satan is waiting to destroy him. And while shepherds are watching and angels are singing and wise men are worshiping, Satan is waiting to make his move. How's that for a vision of Christmas morning? Looking at it from this perspective, from heaven's perspective, should give us four insights we wouldn't normally see if we read through Matthew's version and Luke's version. Potentially, at the end of this, tomorrow morning, if you read the Christmas story with your family, maybe you'll choose this one. I don't think so, but you might. Number one, the birth of Jesus Christ was a declaration of war. From heaven's perspective, the birth of Jesus Christ was a declaration of war. The words Christmas and war shouldn't go together. We tend to picture the birth of Jesus as a tranquil, quiet, and peaceful event. I've seen one child born in this world. That is not how it goes. We picture shepherds in wordless wonder gazing at Jesus, animals silently milling around. We even sing songs that say, "No crying he makes." In silent night, the whole world is holding its breath in wonder, but the unseen world, all hell is breaking loose. And God finally seeks to wrestle creation from the power of evil. The birth of Jesus was the launch of God's assault on the power of evil. Eugene Peterson says about this verse specifically, this is not the nativity story we grew up with. Jesus' birth excites more than wonder. It excites evil. Evil's clearly in our world. Look at the conflicts that are in the world today. The next thing we need to see from this perspective is that the birth of Jesus brought the world's rightful ruler to earth. Jesus was the rightful king of earth from the day of his birth, which is why Herod tried to destroy him. Yet Jesus wasn't just the king of the Jews, the rightful heir to David's throne in Israel. Jesus is the king of kings. Lord of lords, the ruler, the creator of the entire universe. And until Jesus assumes his rightful throne over this world, every other person, every other leader, every other political figure will be imperfect and inadequate. As earnest and as eager we are to rid the world of horrible acts, we'll never be able to bring about lasting peace that the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, will bring to this world. The birth of Jesus brought the world's rightful ruler to earth. The third thing, the birth of Jesus signaled an invitation to the human race. Evil has infected the human race like a deadly virus. God has the power to destroy the virus, but if he does, he will also destroy everyone infected with it. This deadly virus is called a sin. It's called sin in the Bible. It's a condition of rebellion of God. And according to the Bible, all people have been infected with sin. It's ingrained itself into the very fabric of our lives. And God is going to destroy the sin and the evil. But first, he wants to offer the human race a cure for the virus, so they don't get swept away when he destroys evil. So when God sent Jesus into the world on Christmas Day, he offered up an open invitation to flee the eventual destruction of evil and experience God's salvation and reconciliation. It was a call to live under the government of God, to reorient our lives, to live as subjects of God's kingdom rather than the darkness we experience around us. And once you respond to that invitation, all the other stuff starts taking on a deeper meaning. The lights mean something different. The carols mean something different. The trees, the gifts. And if you haven't received this invitation, if you haven't responded to this invitation yet, you missed out on the most important part of Christmas. From heaven's perspective, Christmas signaled an invitation to the human race. Lastly, Jesus Christ has already triumphed over the power of sin. From heaven's perspective, Jesus Christ has already come and overcome the power of sin. And I'm not sure that Satan being cast out of heaven in this vision is supposed to mean any more. It's supposed to mean anything more than Satan has been defeated. Satan may still be active on this earth from the perspective of heaven. He's been defeated. And his days are numbered. And any opposition that he gives is simply a desperate act of a defeated foe. The birth, life, death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ is the only way to overcome Satan and offer salvation to the human race. Only Christ's work can defeat the power of Satan, and Jesus is willing to do whatever it takes to accomplish that goal. Though we may still suffer, though we may still see evil active in our world, these are the death throes of a defeated enemy. In the midst of such evil, striking back with evil is not the way to go. In the midst of such evil, trusting in the power of Christ to finish what he started is the way to go. And what he started starts tomorrow. What he started, we celebrate tomorrow. We overcome through Christ's death, the blood of the Lamb, our righteousness to follow Jesus, even in the face of death. And Christmas is the first step that Jesus took toward overcoming the power of evil in this world. Christmas through heaven's eyes looks a little bit different than through our eyes. Through heaven's eyes, Christmas means war has been declared. That the world's ruler has come, an invitation has been offered, and evil has been overcome. So when we celebrate that, the light of the world coming into our world, the one who prophesies, who brings light, who redeems, who saves. We're going to do that with the lighting of the Christ candle in our Advent wreath. And by singing, and while we sing, we're going to light our candles together. And we're going to celebrate the birth of the one who triumphed over evil 2,000 years ago. Merry Christmas.
the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled, joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the sky.
Felt its worth.
taught us.
And truly he taught us to love one another. His law is love, and his gospel is free. And chains shall be
tonight. We remember not only your birth, but what that means and the triumph that comes with it. God, tonight we would reflect not only on the love that you have for us, but the love that you've called for us to love one another with. And as we leave this place, we go to our families. Hang out with friends, whatever it may be, God, that we would always proclaim Christ is Lord. We do all this to honor and praise you. We love you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Merry Christmas, High Point.